Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of Mark. Hear the words of the Lord. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who have come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes, they ask Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold true to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is written, from within the human heart that evil intentions come, fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceitfulness, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this very hour. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together would be acceptable unto you. For you are our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. We have all heard it said that cleanliness is next to godliness. As a matter of fact, one believer of that adage is with us today, my mother. She believed and believes that there is nothing better than a clean child. She has been known to scrub children until they were raw. A number of years ago, when a couple of her grandchildren had stopped coming over and staying with her more frequently, she asked them why they weren't spending the night with her more often anymore. And they remarked, "Honey," that's what all her grandchildren call her, "you like to bathe us too often and too hard." Yes, my mother was an adherent of exfoliation long before it was popular. And she practiced it religiously, believing that there was nothing holier than a clean child. In our passage today, the religious lay leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were champions of the oral laws and traditions that interpreted and supplemented the written law that God had given to Moses and the people of Israel. They were believers in cleanliness being next to godliness. When they heard that Jesus was in the area feeding multitudes of people, walking in the midst of the sea, healing the sick and those considered unclean, they came down from Jerusalem to see just what was going on. From their perspective, Jesus was the devil, and they were determined to discredit and destroy him. Why is it that the things we don't understand, we often brand and demonize? You know, we don't understand that single person who's struggling to provide a home for their children, food on the table, medical care, and education. And so we label them as being lazy, not wanting to do any better, living off of everyone else. We don't understand the person who is struggling with substance abuse, and we consider them weak and not really trying to do any better. We don't understand the person who has acknowledged that they are gay or lesbian, And so we characterize them as being unloved by God. Yes, sometimes we can be the modern day scribes and Pharisees when we sit in judgment of our brothers and sisters, but I digress. When those who had come to accuse Jesus witnessed his disciples not adhering to the tradition of washing their hands before eating, the accusations and the questions began to fly. Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? They inquired of Jesus. Their tradition of washing hands before every meal and between every course, you see, had nothing to do with hygiene, but it was a tradition. And it was deemed necessary to be considered ceremonially clean. Most of us wash our hands before eating, and some of us even adhere to the habit of washing while singing Happy Birthday to make sure that they are completely germ-free. But the regimen that was required in their vernacular was an event. It was an event, trust me. Their hands had to first of all be free of any coating of sand or mortar or gravel. And the water for the washing of hands had to be kept in a special large stone jar. And those jars could not be used for any other purpose. And they also had to be deemed ceremonially clean. First, the hands were held with fingertips pointing upwards. And water was poured over them and had to run down at least to the wrist. The minimum amount of water that was used was an eggshell and a half. Now, while the hands were still wet, they would take their fist and cleanse the other hand, after which the hands were now considered unclean again. And so they had to be held downwards and water poured over them in such a way that it began at the wrist and ran off the fingertips. Then and only then were their hands considered ceremonially clean. It was an event. This was a time and labor-intensive ritual. It was a tradition that was not prescribed by the priest in the temple, but by the laypersons in the synagogue. For centuries, this ritual was practiced and believed necessary if a person was to be considered clean before eating. Knowing this might give us reason to pause and call and to examine some of the rituals that we practice in the name of Jesus that have nothing to do with our righteousness, our spirituality, or our godliness, but are just things that we do and that represent, in our eyes, holiness. Now, not all traditions are bad. Many of them define who we are as the people of God. When we read God's word and it is proclaimed, we come to better know God and God's love for us. When we sing songs of praise, we give God thanks for all the marvelous things that God has done. When we come to table and partake in the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation, we are reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made to reconcile us back to God. When we gather as the people of God in worship, we are reminded that we collectively are the body of Christ and are called to go out from this place into the world and live our lives in such a way that others might see Jesus. Now, those are traditions that are worth keeping and practicing. Jesus pronounced his accusers as hypocrites and charged them using the word of God from Isaiah. The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commands of God and hold true to human traditions. Jesus was saying, in other words, why are you concerned about clean hands and your hearts are dirty? You're more concerned about the things that go on outside a person that cannot defile than the things that come from the heart and can defile. Jesus says what emanates from the mind, the heart, and the soul of a person, that is what makes a person dirty. Evil thoughts, fornication, theft, infidelity, faithlessness, greed, dishonesty, extravagance, wastefulness, envy, slander, arrogance, conceit, and foolishness. These are the things that defile us. What good are clean hands if our hearts are dirty? I believe that Jesus actually calls us to get our hands dirty. You see, Jesus led by example. He hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors, the sick, the infirmed, and lepers. He allowed himself to be touched by those who were deemed unclean. He fed people on a hillside without benefit of water to wash their hands. And he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and called him forth, even though he was wrapped in burial clothes and 4 days in the tomb. Jesus went into the highways and the byways, compelling people to come to him, for his yoke is easy, hallelujah, and his burdens, thank God, are light. And Jesus instructed Peter to feed and love his sheep. I believe that even today, God is compelling us, each and every one of us, to get our hands dirty. By building and providing housing for the homeless and the ill-housed, advocating for appropriate and varied educational and employment opportunities and training for everyone who desires it, medical coverage for everyone regardless of their ability to pay a premium, visiting and encouraging the sick and the incarcerated, mediating on behalf of those who have no standing in society, those who don't have comfortable bank accounts, retirement plans, or impressive tax returns. God is calling us to have dirty hands and clean hearts. Hearts that show kindness, mercy, and love to all we encounter. Hearts that are moved to comfort those who are grieving. Hearts that are fearless and willing to march and speak out against injustice and prejudice any and everywhere. Hearts that stand up for what is right and the highest good for all people, not what is expedient for a few. Hearts that see everyone as brother and sister in Christ, imperfect, hallelujah, but being perfected. Not worthy, but having worth. Not gracious, but so worthy of grace, and sometimes unlovable, but loved. David got it right when he cried out, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you alone, O God, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you and only you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face, O God, from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me, O God, the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit." Brothers and sisters, beloved of God, may we today and every day, in the name of Jesus, be accused of having dirty hands, hallelujah, but clean hearts. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as the people of God, there are many creeds and affirmations that have been written down through history that we ascribe to. And today, let us stand and recite together an affirmation of faith. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.